So let's welcome in our next guest talking about USC. You can find him on Twitter at Chris P. Swanson, publisher at Trojan Sports, part of the Rivals Network. It is Chris Swanson. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, there was a huge reaction here locally to Jay Tufele signing with USC. He was the biggest recruit here in our state. What was the reaction there in Los Angeles? Did folks know much about Mr. Tufele?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He's basically a five-star recruit. Rivals.com has him ranked inside the top 40, which means he's only, you know, a few spots away from having that coveted five-star position. USC fans definitely knew about him. They wanted him badly. USC is trying to rebuild along the defensive line, so he was definitely a big deal recruit for Trojan fans. They knew a lot about him. They were stoked, excited when he committed. Not really surprised. We had actually reported a couple weeks before he committed, after his USC visit, that he would commit to USC. But definitely excited nonetheless, and always, you know, thrilled to have that weight off your shoulders, seeing the kid actually send in a letter of intent and knowing that he's going to be in your class.
What position do you think he plays for USC next year, and do you think he's a starter early on?
I'm not sure if he's going to start, but he definitely could, and he's definitely going to contribute because USC needs guys to contribute. They're replacing Stevie Tuikolovatu. He was pretty much a one-man wrecking crew for them in their three-man front. Rasheem Green's coming back, but they have a lot of holes to fill anyway. Because they didn't have a lot of depth when Stevie Tuikolovatu was there. They're trying to add guys. I think that's why you saw USC sign a lot of defensive linemen. I think that, Tufele is probably going to start on the outside of that three-man front, probably like a defensive end in USC 3-4, hand on the ground, obviously. But as he puts on size, maybe he moves inside to a nose. I don't think so, though, because I think he's a special talent, and you kind of want to keep those guys, off the inside where they're going to get double-teamed, have to deal with guards and try to free them up to make plays. That's sort of what I see him as for USC, is a playmaking guy with his hand on the ground, not a gap clogger.
Do we know what role Stevie played in the recruitment of Jay Tufele?
I don't think it's huge because I don't think they're allowed to get, too involved, but he's been a guy on Twitter for USC that seems like he's been recruiting for them and just showing his love for USC recently. I don't think he got too involved with the process. I know that he feels a lot of love for Utah still, too. And, I don't think that, he'd want to, kind of try to influence the kid too much. But I know that Stevie's been a big recruiter for USC in general on Twitter. So I don't know if that played any role, but he seems to, be pumping up the Trojans a lot.
Well, any chance the Trojans could have a little bit of room left in their recruiting class this year? I know a lot of schools here locally are hoping to land the services of Braden Fajoco, the transfer D tackle out of Texas Tech. Could USC be in the running to land Braden Fajoco?
Actually, no. Before USC signed their class, there was definitely a lot of noise about that. Braden Fajoco actually told me himself that he was very interested in USC. And if USC didn't sign the class they did, they would have had room. They're going to be right at the 85 scholarship limit, it looks like. They have one player who's leaving the team because they're actually technically, it looks like they're going to be at 86. They've already planned to add a blue shirt and Jalen McKenzie in the fall to take up that extra spot. So it looks like they're going to be right at 85, and they won't be able to add anyone unless somebody else transfers out or something like that happens.
USC pretty much across the country is viewed as having a top 10 recruiting class. Is there one or two guys that you think the Trojans are most excited about getting in this cycle?
Yeah, honestly, I think I could name four or five. There's a lot of high-end kids, a lot of, five-star kids or kids that are right on the border of being a potential five-star. I think if you're looking at the name guys, it's Stephen Carr, the running back from down here in Southern California in Fontana Summit High School. just an all-purpose guy that can do it all, catch out of the backfield. You know, he's fast. He's big for an all-purpose back. He can run in between the tackles. He's probably not going to start for them immediately because they have, you know, a pretty talented backfield, but he's just such a big-name recruit that he's going to be playing early on. There's no question about that. Joseph Lewis, the five-star wide receiver from Augustus Hawkins High School right there in Los Angeles, he's a guy that everybody knows about. Nebraska fans really wanted him as well, and I think that he's somebody that everybody's excited about just because he might be one of the best athletes in the country, just all around. Those are probably the two highest-ranked guys. But for USC fans, the defensive linemen they added were a big deal. Austin Jackson, the offensive tackle, was a big deal. The USC legacy's grandfather played on a national championship team, and his uncle, who he's actually named after, was on the roster recently, you know, about 10 years ago, two or 20 years ago, I guess, and it's from Gardena Serra. So there's a lot of guys to feel connections to be excited about. It's a big-time class for USC. I think it's arguably one of the, you know, four or five best classes in the country.
Jack Sears once had an offer to Utah. Utah was hoping to land him at one point. Then he committed to Duke for a while, kind of surprisingly. What did USC do to change his mind, and what does his future look like, in your opinion?
I think he has a bright future at USC. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country in this class, high school quarterbacks. I think what happened there is that when USC started the season, they had Max Brown as the starter, an older guy, a former five-star recruit. Sam Darnold was under him, and Sam Darnold is an amazing player, obviously, as we all found out as the season progressed. So I think Jack Sears looked at USC's depth chart and said, okay, they have an older quarterback, and they have the next guy who's very young. After Sam Darnold took that role, now it looks like Sam Darnold could possibly leave after next season, and Max Brown is obviously gone. USC's quarterback situation changed dramatically. So I think that he was always interested in USC. I just think that, you know, things changed dramatically. The outlook on, you know, his ability to play early on changed. You know, it became a much different situation. So USC was always one of those favorite schools. And I think that he just kind of ended up, you know, tilting back that way. And that's a big deal for USC because, as I said before, he's a really big-time quarterback, and they needed that guy, you know, in this class. They need, because, you know, last year they took a good quarterback, but not that big name that USC fans are used to. So getting a guy in this class like Jack Sears, huge deal for USC.
Is the expectation that Darnold will be gone after this season? I mean, does it really feel that way? Is that the favorite in the clubhouse?
Yes, definitely. I know my staff feels very confident in that because we've talked to people that we feel would know, and they've told us that that's probably what's going to happen. The other part of it, too, is that he's just so good that, you know, he just seems like one of those players anyway that's just destined, you know, to be three and done. Because, I mean, already, you know, he's the, you know, named one of the best players in the country by prestigious awards after the season. He's a Rose Bowl MVP, you know, breaking records and all sorts of stuff. So he just seems like one of those guys that's destined to be three and done. And most of the time, you know, that's what happens with those guys. Adoree Jackson this year, you know, was a guy that everybody thought could come back. He had talked about it a lot, his interest in returning. He was going to classes at 8 a.m. Before he decided to go pro. And, you know, sometimes it's just too much to turn down. Usually, even when you do see the guys decide to come back, like Matt Leinart, Matt Barkley, there are reasons outside of their love for the school. And, you know, it's sometimes about draft positioning as well as it was with those two. I don't think that's going to be an issue for Sam Darnold. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Find him on Twitter at Chris P. Swanson. You can catch him at Trojan Sports, where he's a publisher, part of the Rivals Network. Great stuff, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much.